Radio News. A landmark Los Angeles mural sees the light of day after almost 80 years of darkness. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, the 9th of October, 2012. I'm James Santelli. The Citizens Commission on Jail Violence met with the LA County Board of Supervisors this morning to discuss its recommendations for reform in the Sheriff's Department. Melissa Runnels reports.
The Citizens Commission report found that the problem started at the top with leadership, and then it trickled down from there.
We found fundamentally that the problems that we observed were a failure of leadership. The sheriff failed to adequately monitor and control use of force in our jails. He told our commission that he was unaware of problems until very recently.
Part of the reason for poor leadership was a lack of communication.
There were communication breakdowns, information gaps. Too many years went by before the sheriff fully engaged, and the atmosphere and multi-layered command structure that we observed was one that kept bad news from ascending to the sheriff.
That's Miriam Krinsky, the chief executive of the Citizens Commission. Baca is not the only one who shoulders blame and responsibility for these problems. The report singled out Undersheriff Paul Tanaka for his direct role in encouraging the violence.
We found that the undersheriff engaged in troubling statements and troubling conduct. He encouraged deputies to be aggressive, to work in the so-called gray area, to function right on the edge of the line. He discouraged discipline.
The Citizens Commission hopes that this report provokes a proper long-term changes and isn't just filed away like those that have come before it.
And we hope that we will see more than just a commitment of the moment. What is needed is a steadfast commitment and vigilance to bringing these changes about.
The details of exactly how that's going to happen are still being worked out. For Annenberg Radio News, Melissa Runnels.
You may think it's deja vu, but today the LA City Council voted to repeal the ban on storefront marijuana dispensaries. This is the second vote on the issue. Last week, the council voted 11-2 to repeal the ban, but because it was not unanimous, council members had to take a second vote. The only vote against it came from council member Joe Buscaino. Council members Joe Wiesar, Bernard Parks, and Jan Perry all voted against the repeal last week, but they were not present at today's vote. City Council's biggest supporter of legalizing medical marijuana, Bill Rosendahl, announced today that he will not seek a third term. Rosendahl has undergone several rounds of treatment to fight a rare form of cancer. He said that he won't run for re-election so he can focus on his battle with cancer.
But as long as I feel comfortable, it's working. It's obviously working. And I will continue treatments until I totally don't need it anymore and get out of that seat. And get back to the date I want to die, which happens to be when I'm 96, not 68. So,
Rosendahl has endorsed his chief of staff, Mike Bonin, in the race for his seat next year. Bonin has already formally declared his candidacy with the support of Council President Herb Wiesen. Rosendahl is the first openly gay man to serve on City Council. Before his election, he was a cable TV executive and public affairs TV host. He says he intends to return to the airwaves after finishing his treatment. Weather. We should see a drop to a low of 54 degrees overnight. Skies will continue to be partly cloudy. Tomorrow will bring slightly cooler temperatures with a high of 72 and a low of 57. On Thursday, bring out your umbrella if you have one. a cold, low-level air mass will move down from Northern California, bringing a welcome 60% chance of rain and thundershowers. Expect highs of 70 and lows remaining steady, 58 at night. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the Clean Water Act. Today, LA water officials met to celebrate the past and prepare for the future of a cleaner community. Today, environmental and water officials met at the Japanese American National Museum. Officials described the vast improvement of LA water throughout its 40-year history since the enactment of the Clean Water Act. The moderator of the event, Hala Titus, brought up the scale of water distribution in Los Angeles.
The city of Los Angeles overseeing the largest wastewater treatment facilities in the nation with nearly 7,000 miles of sewers has eliminated 83% of sanitary sewer overflows.
Current LA County flood control now captures over 50 billion gallons of stormwater every year. This allows for the water to be filtered from the San Gabriel Mountains into the LA Aqueduct Basin. LA City Bureau of Sanitation Enrique Zalvadar believes the correct authority is in place to carry out the mission set in 1972.
40 years later, it was Mayor Villaraigosa who made a call for the city to become the cleanest, greenest big city in America.
Alec Mackey is a board member of the California Water and Environment Organization. He believes the city can make even more strides.
There's tons of water, stormwater, wastewater we can reuse. Instead, we're importing it, but maybe one day we'll use that technology to recycle our water, reuse what we have.
Today's anniversary ceremony was held at the Japanese American National Museum. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a conversation with longtime LA political observer and journalist Ron Kay about the district attorney's race and the regrettably low voter attention to local elections. The city of Los Angeles was once known as the mural capital of the world, but in recent years that title has lost its luster. Reporter Molly Gray visited the reopening of one of LA's most famous Mexican murals, where civic leaders have tried to protect public art's legacy.
Exactly 80 years after it was first unveiled, America Tropical was welcomed back into the public eye by members of the Mexican and arts communities. The mural on Alvera Street is by world-renowned Mexican artist David Alfaro Siqueiros. It was completed in 1932, but was painted over within a decade. This was widely seen as an attempt to squelch political expression by Mexican immigrants.
It's not going away this time.
That was Tim Whalen, the director of the Getty Conservation Institute that undertook the nearly $10 million project funded by the Getty and the City of Los Angeles. Whalen's team restored the painting and installed a protective canopy and sunshades to protect it from further damage from sun, rain, and birds. The restoration is a shadow of the mural's former self, but Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says Siqueiros' work was an inspiration to political artists all over the world. Villaraigosa spoke this morning about how the mural represents his Mexican grandmother's journey to Los Angeles.
Vino con la camisa y nada más. Vino con un sueño.
She came here with nothing but a dream, he said.
By conserving and displaying this masterpiece, we are repaying our debt and honoring Siqueiros and his work.
Villaraigosa and others hinted at the challenges public art has faced in recent years. 10 years ago, the city of Los Angeles enacted a ban on signage that restricted murals, billboards, and large-scale advertisements to designated parts of the city. The result? Rich advertisers monopolize space in the designated areas. This essentially silenced muralists and public artists. Over the last year, Councilman Jose Huizar has been pushing a mural ordinance to restore rights to public artists.
This is about history, it's about censorship, it's about art, and it's also about bringing Los Angeles together to a place that started the mural movement in the whole world.
Huizar's ordinance, however, has been delayed because the City Planning Commission and artists can't agree to the terms. I caught up with muralist Daniel Lahota, the owner of La La Gallery and producer of the LA Free Walls Project. We spoke outside an eclectic coffee shop called Novelty Cafe in the heart of LA's arts district.
There's such great value in the public arts. It just provides an incredible energy overall to the lives of the community.
Lahota recently created a mural at the Skid Row housing development. He believes that as long as property owners and community members support the art, the city should have no grounds to stop it. He says part of the problem is that the city makes money off illegal graffiti and doesn't want to give up that revenue.
And I have a hunch, a pretty strong hunch, that the city attorney's office is continuing to delay the mural ordinance specifically to maintain the power of the graffiti abatement community and their role in that community.
Representatives for the city attorney's office did not respond to a request for comment. The mural ordinance is scheduled to be discussed at the City Planning Commission's next meeting on Thursday morning. Molly Gray, Annenberg Radio News.
By now, you may have heard about the rival tax measures on the November ballot, Prop 30 and Prop 38. As Aaron Schrenk reports, 4 weeks before Election Day, Prop 30's passage is looking more promising, but both campaigns continue to fight it out.
Californians don't usually vote for tax increases. In the past decade, they've defeated 10 tax hike measures and approved just one. But Proposition 30's chances for November are looking good, and advocates turned up outside the LA County Board of Supervisors meeting today to urge the group to throw its support behind the measure. The theme of today's gathering, Saving the Californian Dream, a dream that Community Coalition President Marquise Harris-Dawson says is currently on life support.
And without this injection of oxygen, without this injection of resources, we fear that the California Dream as we know it will die.
Tax the rich seemed to be Prop 30's unofficial tagline today.
Come on, tax the rich!
Here's Rick Jacobs, chair of the Courage campaign, who organized today's event.
It actually gives an opportunity for those who can afford to pay a little bit more to give everyone else the opportunity to start over again.
Proposition 30 would raise California's sales tax by 3.5% and increase income taxes on Californians earning more than $250,000. Revenues would be used to balance the state budget and indirectly fund schools. Rival measure Prop 38 would raise income taxes on most Californians, and the tax revenue would be used exclusively to fund schools, pay down state debts, and to pay for early care and education programs. Prop 38 strategist Nathan Ballard says Prop 38's education earmarks make it the superior measure.
If you want to send money directly to your local public school, then Prop 38 is for you. If you want to send money back to Sacramento, then Prop 30 is for you.
A USC Dornsife LA Times poll from 2 weeks ago showed public support for Prop 30 at 54%. The same poll found support for Prop 38 at 34%. 4 weeks away from Election Day, both sides are making as much noise as they can. Aaron Schrenk, Annenberg Radio News.
And now, producer Melissa Runnels speaks to Ron Kay, veteran LA journalist and watcher of city politics, about the district attorney's race.
In essence, they're both amateur politicians making their first run for public office. And the issues aren't clear. They don't have the same kind of records of somebody who's been in the public eye and been seen. And so it breaks down to an excellent and very smart Republican guy who's a prosecutor and handled big cases, and a career DA who's very efficient and competent and has been in management and for 10, 11 years, including being the number two in the department to longtime DA Steve Cooley. So I think they're fishing for issues, and I think they're fishing for coverage.
I know Jackson is on record as being against three strikes. And Lacey, I believe, is against three strikes and four alternative sentencing. Is that in tune with the public right now?
I think Jackie's positions, when I met her back in the spring, she was very naive to the world of politics. I've watched her and seen her become more confident at it. But she's sort of tried to balance the question. I think the public is fed up with mandatory three strike, no matter what the third strike is, although under Cooley, they have not used the third strike except for violent crimes. Alan Jackson takes a much harder law and order stance. They're both for maintaining the death penalty. I think politically both feel the need to say that we have to have it. And I think that's been the hallmark of the runoff campaign, is caution about making news and disturbing anybody. As important as the office is, I don't see that we know really very much about what either one is going to do if elected.
They're both prosecutors. How is that going to play with kind of the rank and file prosecuting attorneys in the city and in the DA's office? And also, what about the relationship with the police department?
I think that Cooley alienated the rank and file DAs and was at war with them. They've sued him. They've challenged him. And I think there's a stigma that Jackie Lacey has been attached to her as his right-hand woman. And Jackson, I think, is more popular with them. I hope it's not a popularity contest with police chiefs and prosecutors, and it's about enforcing the law. My own personal concern is Cooley promised to be really tough on public corruption, and yet he was always the tail wagging the dog on Bell and numerous other crimes by elected public officials. He's never opened an investigation of any significance into L.A. city politics, which are in their own way about as corrupt as any cities could be. If I think there's any problem in the DA's office, it has to do with public integrity and prosecuting of public corruption. And both are saying the right things, that they're going to be tough.
So between Lacey and Jackson, where are you putting your money right now?
Well, I think Lacey has the edge from every indication. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think being a Democrat makes a big difference. Jackson has something that people who are paying attention, he's very ambitious, and I think that might work against him. Whereas I think Jackie really wants this job and is a more modest and humble person, frankly. I think she's going to win pretty easily.
That was Ron Kay. Jackie Lacey and Alan Jackson will debate tonight in a forum sponsored by the community at Bethel AME Church at 7 p.m. Now we check in with Alexa Liaco to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Alexa.
There's some backlash to the Big Bird conference that made last week's debate so memorable, but this time it's toward President Obama's use of the cartoon character in one of his campaign ads. ATVN spoke to a social media expert to break down the controversy. And a new study reveals that one in five Americans are not affiliated with a religion. We spoke with local religious and secular leaders to gain insight into this new trend. According to a new report, more and more Americans are using their cell phones to keep up with election news and political issues. We spoke to students on campus to see if this trend is holding true.
Thank you very much, Alexa. That's all for Tuesday. We had help today from Evan Budrovich, Emmanuel Martinez, and Sam Weiser. Melissa Reynolds is our producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Schrank. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm James Santelli. Have a great Tuesday.